A correction. A correction. Last week, you were dreadfully misinformed. I was telling you about John Newton's hymn, Amazing Grace. Now the good people of Buckinghamshire will soon be on my tail. I told you Olney, place where John Newton lived, was in Bedfordshire. No, no, no. Nearly in Bedfordshire, actually in Buckinghamshire. Please, the people of Buckinghamshire, my humble apologies, but I fear it gets worse. Because today, we're looking at Charles Wesley's hymn, Love Divine, or Love's Excelling, which has some Welsh words in it. So having offended Buckinghamshire, I'm now probably going to offend all the people of Wales by completely mispronouncing the tune to which this great hymn is set. So there'll be probably another apology next week to Wales. But let's travel hopefully. So, Charles Wesley wrote the hymn we're going to sing in a moment, Love Divine or Love's Excelling. And it's thought it's got about 40, at least, scripture references in it. Allusions to different scriptures throughout the hymn. Over 40. Just in those verses there, over 40. Because he was a man, wasn't he? He was just steeped in the Bible. What a lesson to us there. That everything about him was Bible. It came so easily to him to put into poetry, to be sung, things that were all there already in scripture, and it seemed just instinctive for him just to be able to write scripture and write it in such an imaginative and appealing way. But here we are singing these great hymns 200, 300 years afterwards. Now, he actually got his inspiration for this from a hymn of Joseph Addison, which is in our hymn book, hymn number 100, talking about the love of God there. And there was a poem, a secular poet of that day, Dryden, and something about that caught Wesley's imagination. It wasn't about God, there's the fact, but nevertheless, some of the wording of it caught his imagination. He thought that would serve very appropriately for our praises to God. And to think of the love of Christ, and to have within that hymn a cry for us that that love would enter every trembling heart. And so he wrote that. And that became then a standard hymn that we're still singing and singing very happily to this very day. And he wrote to his future wife when he was on the road in Wales. Actually, he was on the way to Holyhead because he would preach. His brother John Wesley, of course, preachers, and Charles Wesley having that gift of being able to write hymns as he did. And he said to his wife, this is the most important thing, the love of God, to know that love of Christ. And so the hymn really reflects that great burden. Right, well, I mentioned Wales. It gets worse now because the writer of the tune of the hymn, called William Rowlands, and, well, lived in West Wales. In fact, he was born in Fishguard, right down West Wales. And he was in the 1904 Welsh Revival. That was a great move of God's Spirit. Some aspects of it there which didn't stand scrutiny over time. But God was undoubtedly at work in some of what was happening. And he had this tune in his head to set Love Divine to. Now, this is where it gets very difficult. Hymn tune, it looks something like Blanwern, right? Okay, that set Wales off. I've got to flee the country quickly now. Blanwern. And he gave it that name because his son had recovered on the farm of that name. See, I'm not going to dare try and repeat it again. On the farm of that name when he was recovering at the age of 12 from tuberculosis. And out of, well, thankfulness, really, to the people of that farm who looked after his son and made such a difference for him. And I understand he got over tuberculosis. So he named this tune after that little farm way down in West Wales somewhere. So here we are singing that particular tune to the great hymn of Wesley, a hymn tune that arose out of the 1904 revival and became popularized through time. For a while, you see, it wasn't much sung outside of Wales. People in England didn't sing it, didn't know it, but then it travelled, and people were taking this hymn tune and said, we ought to sing Love Divine to this tune here. And so that's what we're singing, including the top E, which we have in that hymn, which we take a deep breath to sing that one, don't we, just there? Some of us manage it a little better than others, but a great tune to really set forth the dignity, the majesty, the worth of these wonderful sentiments that Wesley was stirred to write. What love it is that Christ has for his people. What love that it is. And this tune takes us near to something of what that means and of the wonder, the worth of it, the power of it. There's nothing. He was right what he said to his wife-to-be, his fiancée, that this is it. And oh, the love of Christ is the chief thing. And it surely is. Once tasted, never forgotten. Once understood, never after that fails to come to our memory and recollection. So as you sing it, ask yourself, has that love divine? Has that love entered my trembling heart? Have I felt the power of Christ's love? Took him to a cross, took him to die in the place of sinners. Has that reached my heart? Do I sing this and think, yes, I understand something of it? So, a question to ask ourselves, perhaps. So let's now sing this great hymn, 604, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling, 604.